It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Lariettes. And welcome to Sinner's Sunday. It's great to be with you today. I've got some cool news for you. Big event coming in a week. But before that announcement, I see a lot of new faces here today. So I guess I ought to hip you to what this creaky old chapel is all about. This is the only place of its kind in the known universe, with a full bar inside and barbecue outside. So if you've not yet, grab yourself a drink and a plate of ribs. Spiritual exploration is always better on a full belly. You may notice you are not seated on ass-punishing benches lined up in rows, because in this house of God, we don't have suffering on the menu. We kind of figure you come here to get away from pain and unpleasantness. Here we don't shame, blame, or call you names either. We don't do rituals or wear fancy robes. You can get all that in other places. Every lazy boy and couch you're sitting on was scrounged from tag sales or outright donated by some of you. Thank you. I first spotted this chapel a few years ago on a dirt road high in the San Gabriel Mountains that skirt the dying city of Los Angeles, the city without a soul. I saw a flash of white clapboard hidden behind a stand of eucalyptus trees. It had not a for sale or for lease or private property sign on it. When I stopped and took a look inside, it was in awful shape. But thanks to the tireless efforts of Brother Dre, his lovely Lariettes, and many of you, it's getting kind of cozy in here. That pot-bellied stove in the corner warms this place up rather nicely, doesn't it? And Southern California does get cold, especially up here in the mountains. And now here we are, together again. It's been several years, and so far, nobody's shown up to evict us. And we've not gathered here since last Easter. And oh, how the world has changed since then. And much of that change is not for the better, is it? I founded Sinner's Sunday in the same way I've done a lot of things in my life as a reaction, an answer to some challenge or trends I found troubling. I've written a few books. Those were mostly an answer to things that bothered me. That Larry Show, the other one I host from the TNS dojo down the road a piece, that too was begun as an answer to the lies that bombard us every day, every minute. And this place is an answer to what I call the corporate God providers. God is big business, huge business. And whenever something that should be organic and authentic and grassroots becomes about money and power, well, just look what's happened to government and medicine and education and more recently, fighting pandemics. I was raised in perhaps the biggest corporate God provider of all, the Roman Catholic Church. There are plenty of others around the world, but I'm not all that familiar with those, so I'll speak to the one I know best. Which, despite its drawbacks and flaws, the RC Church does do a lot of good. Still, I found it lacking. Priests concern more about preaching politics than the Word of God. Warehouses full of money blown on nonsense. In one neighborhood church, they dropped over $300,000 on new LED lighting. You could light a cathedral for $300,000 and have some jing left over, jing that could be given to the poor and the hungry. But what bugs me most about the Christian corporate God providers, not just the RC Church, is the way they have chopped and channeled and bondoed and repainted the main man, that big sandaled bearded Jewish dude from 2,000 years ago. They've twisted him into some weird persona, a weak, sunken-chested, sad-eyed, whispering dweeb. JC was anything but that. He was a card, a live wire, a charm bomb, and a people magnet. He may have been half God, but he was also half human. He had a temper. He could be violent. He enjoyed a drink now and then and a good party, and he did like to curse at things. His appeal and humanity was part of the reason for his success. And he remains, 20 centuries later, the most successful person who ever lived. No one comes close. Corporate God providers can be very selective about which parts of the Bible they choose to highlight. The Bible, even the New Testament, is riddled with astrological prophecies. Those three wise guys, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, they decided to drag their camels a fantastic distance to meet the newborn king because of an astrological prediction that was validated by the Star of Bethlehem, which astronomers now say is going to reappear in about a week for the first time in over 800 years. That's big. That's exciting. To be clear, I'm not into the zodiac and astrology. Never gave it any more credence than the I Ching or runes or tarot cards or tea leaves. But maybe I should. Those three wise guys really were wise guys. They were the upper crust in society at that time. They had wealth and influence. Biblical scholars say the Magi were sort of proto-scientist monarchs. So they're journeying great distances, at great expense and their own peril, to adore some baby. That was a very big deal at that time. Herod, the psychotic king of Israel, well, he had his own astrologers who also said there was a new baby king coming. And Herod, he didn't want any competition, so he put out a contract on the baby. The wise men may have tipped Mary and Joseph to that fact, which was why they went on the lam for 3 years in Egypt after little JC was born. As wise men and women know, the world is a dangerous place, and evil will always be present. JC was not born in the summer of love, but in a very dark winter. And the more things change, the more they remain the same. The Romans had conquered most of the world. They were pricks. They had slaves, and they liked to crucify people, feed them to lions. The reason JC was born in Bethlehem was because everyone was commanded by government to go there and register for the census. Does that sound familiar? Citizen slaves, we command that you be counted and cataloged and numbered, so we may tax and control you and slaughter your children, whether by conscription in frivolous wars or just because we can. Infanticide was also en vogue then on a mass scale because when Herod's hitmen couldn't locate JC, he ordered every male baby under the age of 2 in Bethlehem to be murdered. Pretty sick world, huh? Pretty dark. But not all that different from this world. At that time, people thought it was as bad as it could get. And here we are, 2,000 years later, still awash in lies and bullies. Punk governors crushing people's ability to make a living with their phony science and ineffective lockdowns and voodoo mandates, huh? Children denied school, churches and synagogues closed. But Home Depot and Costco, they're good for your health. Get in there and breathe deeply. Wear a mask. Cover your face. Lose your identity. Do not assemble. Stay inside. And take a vaccine. Or else. That's coming. Infanticide has almost been mechanized now, especially in New York State, where a couple of years back, a latter-day Herod named Andrew Cuomo made killing babies legal with abortion right up until birth. When he did, with a stroke of his pen, he made it a photo op. His creepy minions stood around him. He smiled, called it a great day. Everyone applauded. He posted a slick video montage of the event on his Facebook page, a page that proudly displays a map of New York State with the slogan, "No hate in our state." In those 2 years, the number of live infants killed under Cuomo's reign has surely surpassed Herod's baby count by a multiple. Then, when you add on the 9,000 or 10,000 geriatrics Cuomo wiped out when he ordered COVID patients into nursing homes, well, now Cuomo makes Herod look like an amateur. And then, 2,000 years ago, that star appeared, which wasn't a star at all, but actually is Jupiter and Saturn cuddling up. And despite all the might of kings with their soldiers and spies and astrologers and hitmen, that baby lived for 33 years. And in only the last 3 years, he became the ultimate change agent, didn't he? A disruptor, corporate types might call him. His message, his truth, crushed countless dictators and flattened mountains of lies. And now that exact same alignment of planets that heralded his approach will be seen for the first time in 800 years. Some believe it portends redemption and renewal. Others think it's an omen of the arrival of the Antichrist and fulfillment of the prophecies and revelations. A look back 800 years ago shows the world, as usual, in turmoil. Genghis Khan was raping and pillaging, the Crusades were in full swing, and all the star did was put a pretty light in the sky. Whether those planets line up and JC appears behind them and punches them into cosmic dust and then lands on Earth to kick ass and take names, or the Antichrist slithers out of the dimensional slime to plunge us into a new dark age, aka the Great Reset, that remains to be seen. Whatever the outcome, just remember JC's favorite phrase, the one he used more than any other. Fear not. I'll see you this Wednesday over at the TNS Dojo at thatlarryshow.com. Stop by there for more of everything. Until that time, God bless and Merry Christmas, and look at the sky on the 21st.